We are up to Siman Tov Kuf Yud Ches. Let me just make a bit of put all these devices over here. Yeah, of course they are. Steve, now, I don't have to. Yeah, of course he is. Yeah. We are up to Siman Tov Kuf Yud Ches. We're in a halfway through Sif Aleph. I'm going to. I want to address today a very important Mishnah Berurah as well as a Gemara. So. The aim of the evening is to get through a couple of really important points of Mishnah Berurah and Gemara over here. And I want to start off where we finished off yesterday with regards to the Gemara. So again, we spoke about Hotzah yesterday on Yom Tov. And we learned that you can carry, if you're carrying something for Tzorich Ktas, it's got some sort of purpose. If you're carrying for the Tzorich Yom Tov, it's permitted, otherwise not. An example, Besimchas Yom Tov, we went through a couple of examples. Came along the Ramah last night, and he gave us a very big chiddush, and he said that, yeah, even the fact that you're not going to steal, that it's not going to get stolen, it's not going to get damaged, that's also considered Zech Yom Tov, which admittedly is a great chiddush. The Mishnah Berurah went on and disagreed according to some opinions, and he said that, no, actually, the fact that it's going to get stolen, that's not good enough. I want to move on very much from that word, because there's going to be the discussion of the Machzorim. I want to learn through these three lines of Mishnah Berurah, and then present you a suffix which I have, which I, every single Yom Tov, I think about this. I don't know, I don't have any proofs either way, but let's just see this Mishnah Berurah first. So, and it's touching on a new point as well, which I, let's just see, Mishnah Berurah over here. So we are up to 1, 2, 3, 4 lines in the wide lines of the Mishnah Berurah. So that's about halfway through Sif Katan Vav. It's just after the square brackets. And the point is now going addressing the Machzorim. Mikol Mokim, nevertheless. Hamachzorim, the Machzorim. Sheivyom b'yom tov lebeis ha-kneses. That you brought on Yom Tov to Shul, and you fear that it's going to get stolen. Yeah? Machzorim might get stolen. So although you may not need them at home, although you may not need them again on Yom Tov, you may bring the Machzorim home. Leveso to your house, the according to all opinions. Why? And these are your words. The tiron sofa mishum tchilasan, because we allow the end because of its beginning. Deim loikein leaviam betchila leves haknesses. If you were to forbid taking the machzorim home, what's going to be next Yom Tov? You know, you may leave them there, and then it's going to get lost. It's going to get stolen. The next Yom Tov, you're not going to bring the machzorim. We don't want that. We do want to encourage people to take the machzorim to shul. Yeah, it's not the words that he's saying, but that's the theme. That's the idea. If we were to tell him, you know, you've got to keep the machzorim in shul, so he's going to keep it. He's going to lose it, and he's not going to bring in next machzor, next yom tov. So therefore, we allow it. Hamachzorim shemunachim mikvah beveis haknes, the machzorim which are already left in shul, which are in shul already, chain. If they are positioned in shul and they are to stay in shul, if you don't need them anymore, those machzorim that are to be kept anyway, don't bring them home. Even if you fear they might get lost. So he's differentiating. The machzorim which are normally kept in shul, those you don't bring them home, even if you think they might get lost or stolen. The machzorim which you tend to bring home, your own personal machzorim, those you have to take home. It's all based on the heter that we touched on yesterday, that we learned yesterday, that the Ramah says that if you have fear of it getting stolen and lost, you may take it home. Okay, these are the words of the Mishnah Berurah. What are your thoughts on that? No, so that's, I suppose the answer is two different scenarios. It's either or.
In a shul where they...
Yeah, I think that's what it's talking about. Yeah. So what do you think about that? You may bring a machzor home, although you're not going to use it.
You've got an easy
way
to use it.
Very good. I want to speak about that as well. That's the Shaarat Siyan. I have what to say on this. We're going to go there. Shaarat Siyan, if you've got new game, we're going to go there. We'll just give me a minute. That's the next step. So, Tval, just to take a maxim. So, I was wondering about this, gentlemen. I don't know. I'll tell you why I'm a bit misupik about this. About taking your machzom if you don't need it. So based on what we're learning now, once you're finished, you know, you can take your machzom. I have a bit of a svara based on a personal, it's not anecdote, a personal fact. Okay, I inherited quite a lot of, I mean, me and my brother basically inherited all my grandfather's and my grandparents' items. I'm very privileged to have these. So my grandfather had a set of machzorim, which I ended up having, set of machzorim, and it's printed in the 1940s in America, and it's the strange thing about it is that it's a Nusach Poland. I noticed as soon as I got it, I said it's Nusach Poland, which is the Polish Nusach, which is not my grandfather's Nusach. Nice set of machzorim. So I asked, why does my grandfather have a Polish machsa? It's not a nusach at all. Why did he have such a machsa? And she told me the story. She told me that my grandfather was at one point in his life, he was fairly wealthy. Don't worry, it didn't last for very long. But he was at one point in his life, he was fairly wealthy. And he lent money to somebody. And that individual was unable to pay back. Ever heard of such a story before? He was unable to pay back. Now, so my grandfather, whatever, asked him a few times. Eventually, he just wasn't him. So he came to a point. This is going back in the 1950s. So he just couldn't. So eventually, in order to make it, you know, he met him in shul every day. It was uncomfortable. So he said, you know what? Can't pay you back. But instead of that, I'm going to give you a nice set of machzor which I have. And that's the way he paid back. He had a nice set of machzor which happened to me. My grandfather accepted it. Don't know. You know, he probably was just trying to be nice and didn't make him feel uncomfortable. So he accepted his set of machzor, which was actually not even his nusach, which is nusach poilim, which is not our nusach. And that is why he got that set of machzor. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is because it tells us a little bit about what? Imagine somebody would owe you a few hundred pounds today, or a few thousand. Value of some. It gives a bit of an idea. And we're not going back over the pre-war, you know. We're not going back in the early 1900s or 1850s. We're going back in the 1950s. And that gives us a bit of an idea of the value of certain machzorim. Because machzorim were very, very expensive. They were very expensive. Now, I don't know the equivalent of what it is exactly, but it gives us an idea. This is a person, you know, in today's terms, probably, you know. And that's the way he paid back his debt, by giving a full set of machzorim. Why am I saying this? Because I am just curious to know. I'm curious, and that's a topic which I have every Yom Tov. Mishnah says, you may bring your machzor back. Yeah, you may bring your machzor because it's a hefset, if you're not. So I wonder, how much is a single Rosh Hashanah machzor? Even the art school run. 20-something pounds, yeah? If you want to go for the leather edition, you add another £5, yeah? And you know what? If you have it embossed your name on it, you know, so add another couple of quid. That's the value. So we're talking about, that's it. I wonder, I honestly don't know. I'm a supek every Yom Tov I think about this. We for sure don't have evidence the Mishnah Berurah is allowing, telling you, and I see all the people taking the machzorim back home. Is that really what the Mishnah Berurah means? I would not be one bit surprised. When the Chofetz Chaim is talking about taking your machzor home, he's talking about the machzor, which is the equivalent. You know, we are wealthier than, you know, and the machzorim are cheaper. Does he really mean that you can take your £20 machzor home? Which end of the world? If you lose it, you're going to buy another one. Not nisht ekvelt, as we say in Yiddish.
At this point.
It's still got value. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's got still value. It's got still some. Yeah, what do you want to say?
Yeah, at this point, the Mishnah Berurah is not worried about Hefzet because he's already machmir on Hefzet. He doesn't care about Hefzet. So the whole machzorim has got the added fact of, you know, you won't bring it in the first place. But the Mokim Hefzet is already machmir on.
So why is he allowing it? Based on what?
Based on people won't bring machzorim to shul.
Ah, I see. So Rabbi Feingold could start a different angle to this, which I think is actually a very good point. He said, you know what, people are going to be worried about, if you're not allowing to take the machzor to shul, what's going to happen? People are going to say, okay, if you're not allowing bringing back the machzor, what's going to happen? Next time he's going to say, you know what, forget it, I don't want to risk it. I'm going to keep my machzor at home, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, in shul, I'm going to just like...
He gave the Nusach Poland, he gave
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good. Yeah, and also remember, of course, nowadays we don't really say so much piyutim. We can get away on regular yom tov. We can get away with the normal tzedakah. But yeah, that. So anyway, it's an interesting point. Now I want to move on to the shayat zinui, which is your point. Shayat zinui brings over here something, and I've got to add on that as well. Sifkon yud gimel in the second line of shayat zinui, Mishabu says as follows. Sheim tzarich, he throws in. He says, if you do need the machzorim, sheim tzarich lohem loyma beveso shiros v'tishpochos. If you need the machzor at home anyway, because you're going to do shiros v'tishpochos, you're going to sing zmiras from it. Say, you know, as an example, you know, you want to, you like to say on your yom tov table, you sing parts of halal on yom tov. You know, very common minhag, or you take other parts of the tefillah of Musaf and Rosh Hashanah, that is your minhag to sing, then, lekul alamot, according to all opinions, permitted. Why? Because that's considered a tzorich. So now, stepping away a little bit, we're saying, you know what, forget about the other etherim. There's a clear-cut, straightforward heter to take your machzor home. Do you know how? If you're going to use it. Example given, using it for zmiras.
Kiddush.
Yeah, kiddush. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Some people though have two machzorim, one at home.
Very good. That's my next point. Hold on. Hold on. Very good. Very good. Very good. So the words of the Shayat Zin is, I want to address exactly what you were saying, Stephen. I agree with you. So the Mishnah Berurah's words is in Shayat Zin. Let's look at this carefully. The Mishnah Berurah's words is she'im tzorich lahem beveiso. If you need it, tzorich. If you need it at home. To say shiras v'tishpocha is praises and zmiras lekul almamuta, you're allowed to bring it home lachsir leveis blich shashkinev, even if you're not concerned about stealing, you can just take it home because you're going to use it, right? To, you know, it's a no-brainer. If you need it, consider the tzorech. It's an unquestionable heter. If you need it, take it. You're allowed to carry it on the tzorech. Now the words that the Mishnah Berurah uses is tzorech. A need. And here comes the question. Define need. Most of us, you'll have a sit at home. You're going to have perhaps another machzor at home. You know the machzor that you gave your wife when she was a kala? You know that set? The white one? It's probably at home. You may have another machzor, you know. Maybe So, will you therefore, is there heter in such a case, a very common case, so we just thought now we've got a brilliant idea, take your machzor home, use it, and you can carry without any questions. Well, is that heter applicable if you've got another set of machzor home?
Using the machzor, I'm using this one.
Oh. Yeah. So the poskim allow it, the poskim amatir. The poskim say that if that's the one who's handy, that's the one you like use, that's the one you want to use, it's fine. The poskim take this a very lenient approach, and they say it doesn't mean literally the way the Mishnah Berurah expresses himself. Tzorich, you need, it doesn't go that far. More the point being that you're going to use it. So Rabbi Sai, here is a straightforward heter. If you want to use any, if you want to carry anything, just use it. And if you use it, it's fine. I'll tell you where it's a bit more tricky. It's a bit tricky when it comes to tashlich. I'm always a bit worried about tashlich. If you take the machzor for tashlich, some of us only say Mikael Kamoicha, others say more.
I think I've seen this heta of they were matir.
Sofon Mishom Chilosan. Chilosan
there, because you can't leave it by the.
Very good, yeah. So you could argue that, well, I can't keep it over here in the middle of, you know. Where is it tashlech? You know, you could, in the public, are you going to leave it like that? It's not going to be there tomorrow. Unlikely. And if it is there, it's going to be damaged and you're going to use it again. It's going to be wet and, you know, whatever. But if you want to go according, there is an element of kula in that, as we've seen in the Mishnah Berurah. You could argue that the most straightforward that is if you're going to use the machzor again at home. Just keep in mind.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, just keep in mind, one sec, just keep in mind that if you're going to use it before Nacht. And that is something which we should keep in mind. I think once you've got that awareness, things become really not a big deal. Just carry it, Gesundheit, but just make sure to use it. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, because that's also better. So Abgidian mentions that if you add with other things, like in a bag or in a bug or anything like that, that's a very valid point. Because what happens then is halachically, it's categorized as a ribui b'shiurim, which is anyway more lenient, and therefore they've been added kula. That's right, yeah. Yes.
Rabbi, but if you were to leave it in the open, more than likely, not getting stolen, somebody would pick it up and put it in a just an ordinary rubbish bin. So not in a shameless place. So God would pick it up, see it in, just assume it's rubbish and put it in a rubbish bin. So you're now throwing away something Kodesh.
In Edgeware, most, I think that it's true to say that most people know what a machzeh is.
You reckon?
Yeah. No, so yeah, I hear what you're saying. So you're saying an added leniency that...
I lost a siddur in a park once, long, long time ago. I don't know what happened to it. I'm only going to guess that somebody picked it up and either they took it home or they dumped it. So I would have thought, you know...
Check on eBay, Stephen, check on eBay. Check on eBay.
Maybe they put it in isolation.
I would have thought they would just throw it away in the bin.
Yeah, it's probably, yeah. So the answer is yes. I suppose there is an added leniency. Perhaps one could argue that if you're worried not only about it getting lost and getting stolen, you're also worried about it's the ending up in the bin. We find in a few places that, yeah, it's probably an added swallow to be lenient. Okay, we carry on. The Ramon continues... Yeah.
Can I ask about the Tashlech case?
Yeah.
Surely that is not all one
Hotzah.
I'm making one outing.
It's an Akir and Anocha. You're doing an Anocha when you get there.
But it's all one.
It's an Anocha. In Anocha, but Shuz Rabbi, or in a Karmelis.
What am I? What
it's Anocha. Once you, the Gemara says, once you stop, it's called Anocha. You make a new Akir after that. Okay, the Ramah continues. It's very interesting because once we've got that awareness, you know, once you get home, you know, you just open it up, you say something from it, and then it's according to the Mishnah Berurah, it's Mutar Lekula Alma. Okay, fine. Continues the Ramah now, the last line of the Seif, last two lines of the Seif. Umutar Yitzchak Bekado. It's one of the, I believe there's two places that the Mishnah, I don't know about the Mishnah Berurah, but as far as I remember, the Mishnah Berurah speaks in two places about football. Yeah, to the great pleasure of the football followers. Yeah, okay, let's see the words. Mutar Yitzchok Bekado. You're allowed to play with a ball. So, I mean, I don't know about, you know. Mutar Yitzchok Bekado. Afilu Bo Shusei Rabim. So, I know that Mishnah Berurah mentions balls in Elzmein Chashabas as well. Mutar Yitzchok Bekado. Afilu Bo Shusei Rabim in a public domain. Afal Gav She'enu Letiul Be'alma. It's just for fun. Some of us don't see the great fun of it, but, you know, I suppose the majority of people do see. So you're allowed to play football. I mean, what does it mean, Bekado? If it's not football, what is it? Yeah, okay. Mutar Yitzchok Bekado. Afal Gav She'enu Letiul Be'alma. All right. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkotten Tess, Bekado afal bo shtrabim. Oitzeloyim, afal gav that it is a rogil havi abamas mokum le mokum. Although, by football, you're normally going to, you're going to carry something more than daladamas. True, no? When you play the football, you're going to normally kick it more than daladamas. Nevertheless, it's permitted. You are allowed to kick the ball further than 4 amas on Yom Tov in a public domain. Why do bichlal til v'simchas Yom Tov? Because it gives people great joy. Does it?
It's children.
Oh, very good. Keeps the Mishnah Berurah going. V'rashal kosav t'dvar teimul hatizid. The Rashal says one of the very early achronim. It's puzzling to allow such a thing. There's no need for, it's not Tzorich Yom Tov, come on. Get your acts together. That's a children's game. And you know, the ones who do it, fine, okay. You know, if the boys do it, let them. But the adults who play football, there you go, the adults who play football. Minagau, it's not a great minig. Well, it talks about Yom Tov, it's not a great custom to play football on Yom Tov. Then it's a simcha, that's no great simcha, but it's a bit childish to play football on Yom Tov, and it's a bit, you know, lightheaded. And that's what the what the Mishnah Berurah holds. He is not addressing football on weekdays. He's addressing football on Yom Tov. And now he said that's not a great idea. So if somebody plays, I would say, you know, plays football on weekdays, you could say, you know, I'm Mishnah Berurah, you know. So he doesn't like the idea of playing it. The reason is because he feels it's not tzorich, it's not considered a tzorich. It's not neat, it's not tzorich Yom Tov. Why is it not tzorich Yom Tov? Somebody enjoys it. Why is it not tzorich Yom Tov? I'm honestly asking. Why is it not considered tzorich Yom Tov? If somebody does enjoy it. Okay, but that's the way he enjoys it. Are you forcing me to, you know, I'm not ready to learn a ktsois over Yom Tov. It's not my simcha. My simcha is to play. I really love good game. It's intended. Shavu Nechon Nefesh, that's interesting. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Very interesting story. All right, okay, I hear. So it's an interesting element. Mishnah says it's not a good custom to play football on Yom Tov. It wouldn't be right. The Ramon finishes off saying over here, Vimniach Eruv, and that's a very large topic, which the Ramon brings briefly only. Vimniach Eruv, what happens if you make an Eruv, or we call an Eruv? We've got an Eruv, yeah? So does that help on Yom Tov or not? Does that mean we can carry, you know, categorically everything is fine? So the Ramos says, if you did place an Eruv, you are allowed to carry unconditionally as long as culture is loteras kli. This is a kli, something proper to, you know, a kli. There's no need for the day. So as opposed to Muktzah, he's excluding Muktzah items. Muktzah item obviously will still, it's obvious to us, but the Ramos does make a point that something is Muktzah, you're obviously not allowed to carry. I think you addressed that yesterday. If something is muktzah, forget it. But if something is non-muktzah, so any regular item, you're allowed to get. Now, I'll tell you why the Ramon makes a point. There is a chiddush here, because there are rishonim who hold that an eruv, it works for Shabbos, but it doesn't help for Yom Tov. There's such an opinion. And therefore, you do not need to be astonished if, you know, the Chazanish and the Stipe, they were very machmir, and never mind, they used to go with the Shabbos belt in Bnei Brak on Yom Tov. There was an Eruv there, but his opinion is that an Eruv only works for Shabbos, it doesn't help.
But why?
Okay, that's a discussion, a whole discussion over here as to whether, you know, but it's let me say we don't pass that, but we're passing like you're saying. So if you see one somebody, which is unlikely you will, but if you see somebody with a Shabbos belt on Yom Tov, so that's where they're coming from. Actually, I saw something. I don't know if it's a bit puzzling. I saw the stipler, apparently he was machmi even on Chol HaMoed. You'd see him on Chol HaMoed with a Shabbos belt. That sounds like quite the stringency, right? Okay, but just yeah. So that's that. But the Ma'aseh Rabbi said, we pass like the Ramah. Yes, an Eruv will help. So, if you are ever in a place which has an Eruv and you rely on it, sure,
Yom Tov. By the start, it could have just been that he was learning all night. He kept the Yom Tov minhag and he was just learning all night after Yom Tov and just didn't realize he still had
it. He could be. Everything can absolutely can be. To summarize what we covered this evening. So, gentlemen, we learned that we spoke about the machzorim, and we spoke about the machzorim. If you're worried that they're going to get lost, you're allowed to take them home. However, machzorim which are in shul, if you've got that kind of scenario that the machzorim are in shul, then don't take them home. They were there before; just keep them there. It's all right. We discussed the fact that the Sharatzion says if you're going to use this machzorim, then by all means, that's the best. You know, it's the best. And someone says that's tzorich. If you're going to use this machzorim, whatever you're going to use, you're allowed to carry. We then moved on and we spoke about the football. Football is not permitted on Yom Tov because it might be a simcha for him, but Ramo allows it. And he says football is okay, but the Mishnah in the name of the Rashal disagrees and he says no, it's not a great custom, certainly not for adults. Football on Yom Tov is not great. Finally, we learned the Ramo. who tells us that Eruv does work for Yom Tov, contrary to minority opinions, who hold that Eruvim do not help. We don't pass on that. We go with the opinions that Eruv does help. And I think that's pretty much the point we discussed this evening, and we will carry on in Mitzvah Hashem with Seif Beis tomorrow evening.